Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
With Christmas celebrations now past, we turn our hearts and our perspective to a new year, 2011. Today we're going to discover how to finish strong, how to begin the new year strong as well. That's next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapman. The Bible is filled with great examples of fantastic finishers, men who trusted God throughout the course of their life. It's important at a time such as this, the beginning of a new year, the end of this past year, that we set our hearts and sights upon the new year and that we renew our passion to be finishers, to grow in our faith, and to continue running the race with patience. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And we're going to finish out the year of 2010 with this series, Faith to Finish. We're going to study some of the Bible's greatest finishers with Dr. Chapel. Before we join the message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Find out more about our ministry. You'll find a lot of resources to help you in your walk with the Lord in the new year. It's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. But now let's turn our hearts to the Word of God. Here's Pastor Chapleton introduced today's message.
Finishing is God's will for each and every one of our lives. The Bible says in the book of Philippians that He has begun a good work in our lives, but He wants to finish that work as well. Today we're going to study the life of a man who finished well. His name was Joseph. He's a type of Jesus Christ, and his life is going to be a blessing to us today as we turn to Genesis chapter 50 for our Bible study.
Recently, I was walking through a grocery store, and for some reason, I walked down the aisleway where they sold different kinds of pet food. And as I walked past the pet food, there were some little plastic holders with advertisements for the different pet food. And there was one that caught my attention. In fact, I wanted to share it with you. It simply said, "How to avoid a midlife crisis in your dog." And then the subscripting, it said, "You need to prepare right away to avoid midlife crisis in your dog." And I got a kick out of that for a lot of reasons. First thought that came to my mind is most of our dogs have never made it to midlife. That's another sad story. We'll tell you sometime. And then I got a kick out of it because there are folks that take that type of thing so seriously that, I mean, it just concerns them, you know, pet health and that type of thing. And I know some of you this morning, I'm treading on delicate water, so I'll move right along there. But it just kind of amazed me to think of a brochure dealing with midlife crisis for a dog. Now, the fact of the matter is this morning that everybody in their life is going to face some crises. Everybody in their life is going to face some challenges, and oftentimes these challenges are generated by Satan himself, because Satan does not want any of you to cross the finish line for the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not want you finishing strong in your Christian faith. And so challenges come, crises come, whether they're midlife or not, doesn't even really matter this morning. The fact of the matter is Satan does not want you to finish your race. And there is no guarantee that every Christian will finish their life in a strong way spiritually. In fact, the statistics are against us this morning. the truth of the matter is that many people find themselves, for whatever reasons, not finishing the race of the Christian life. And the Bible is full of illustrations and full of different stories of men that did not finish well. That's one reason why I believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God, because of the truthfulness of it to tell the good, the bad, and the ugly of various different lives. Now, in the Scriptures this morning, we see different illustrations of it. For example, we see the story of the book of Numbers. Moses chose 12 men. Those 12 men were chosen to spy out the Promised Land. And as they went into the Promised Land, the Bible says that 10 of those men said, "There is no way that we are going to be able to inhabit this land." And there were 2 men who said, "We can do it by the grace of God." So there were 10 men who did not finish strong, and they did not enter into the Promised Land, and they were not blessed because of their lack of faith. There were 2 men, however, Joshua and Caleb. Boy, when you study their lives, they were finishing strong for God. But because of 10 men, the entire nation of Israel wandered around for 40 years. They did not claim the promises of God because of 10 men with a fearful report, because of 10 guys who started out pretty strong, but they did not finish their lives in a strong way. Now, I believe that most of us here this morning would agree with the Apostle Paul, and we would have the prayer of the Apostle Paul, who said this in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." I believe you're here this morning in part because you want to stay on course and you'd like to finish your course. You don't want to be a spiritual has-been, used-to-be, was faithful. You want to remain faithful in the Christian life. Paul said, "I have finished my course." Now, Joseph in the Bible was a man who finished his course. He was a man who finished strong and with integrity. And in many ways, Joseph in the Old Testament, some 1,800 years before Jesus, was a picture of what Jesus would be like when Jesus came. In fact, if you would, notice in your notes some of the similarities between Joseph and Jesus. We sometimes refer to Joseph as a type of Jesus Christ. Several analyses can be made. First of all, when we study Joseph's life, Joseph was rejected by his brothers. You remember the story? And Jesus, the Bible says, was rejected of his brethren. Also, we see that Joseph was greatly loved by his father. And Jesus, of course, was greatly loved by his father. We also see in Joseph's life that he was victorious over temptation. And we learn in the Bible that Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like as we are, yet he was without sin. We also see in Joseph's life that he was taken into custody because of a false witness. And we see in the life of Jesus Christ that he was taken into custody because of a man named Judas who kissed him on the cheek. We also learn in Joseph's life that he was promoted finally from prison in order that he might rule over the whole nation. And thank God Jesus Christ was brought up out of the prison called the grave so that one day he will rule over all the nations. So Jesus Christ is seen in picture form in the life of Joseph. Now, if there was ever a man in the Bible who could have justified quitting, it would have been Joseph. If there was ever a man who could have rationalized, he was mistreated, he was abused, things didn't go his way, and figured out a reason to quit church, to quit on his family, to quit on God, it would have been Joseph. No matter how hard he tried to do right, things just turned negative in his life. Yet he avoided a rebellious spirit. He avoided an angry spirit. He avoided a quitting spirit. Somehow this guy got across that finish line. Somehow this guy made it to the end of his Christian life with a faithful testimony. Now, why did Joseph finish so well? Why did this guy finish when others were falling by the wayside like flies? Why did Joseph finish? And I wonder this morning, how do you envision your finish? Do you envision just getting until your kids are out of school and then you'll drop out of things? Or do you envision maybe just going until the next promotion at work, How do you see your life when Jesus either calls you home or when he comes back for you? What do you envision yourself doing in respect to serving the Lord Jesus Christ? And by the way, the Bible says better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Not to put down the fact that someone gets a good start, but we're talking about faith to finish today. And I want to share with you this morning three of the steps that Joseph took that I believe were absolutely fundamentally foundational in his life, reasons that can be stated for why Joseph finished. I want you to see, first of all, this morning, the faith of Joseph. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis 37 for a moment as we see the faith of Joseph. Now, every man that's here that wants to finish, every woman that wants to finish, please take note of the fact that you cannot finish without faith in God. It sounds basic, but faith is trusting in God's plan. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, you and I today must, from the very beginning of this message, recognize that we must trust God and put our faith in him. Listen, my friend, only God can get you across the finish line. I cannot get myself across the finish line. You cannot get yourself across the finish line because the heart is desperately wicked. I'll deceive myself. I'll think I'm right when I'm really wrong. Therefore, I must learn today to put my faith in God. Now, Joseph had great faith in God. He had faith, first of all, to receive God's word. Faith to receive God's word. Genesis 37 and verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now, when you study Genesis 37, you begin to understand that Joseph's dream was revelation from God. Remember, this is before they had the Bible as we know it. And so his dream was God's revelation to him. And it was prophetic in nature. It had to do with a coming event. And when Joseph received that dream, he did not stumble at it. He did not back away from it. Instead, Joseph received what God had told him. Now, it takes faith for someone to receive God's word for their entire life. It takes faith for someone who, when they're 30 years old and first saved or just getting started and thinks it's exciting and wants to see the world won to Christ, it takes faith for them to be there when they're 40. It takes faith for them to be there when they're 50. It takes faith in God's word. I'm not talking about the start today. I'm talking about the finish today. And one of the things that Joseph put his faith in the most was in the word of God. Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hold your spot there in Genesis. But let's look at a New Testament application this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Because Joseph had faith in God's word, and if we're going to cross the finish line, we must put our faith in God's word. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Notice here, Paul was always thankful for the church at Thessalonica. Why? It says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So when Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit these letters to the church at Thessalonica, they received it as the word of God. Now, my friend, we must have faith in the word of God, and we must recognize this is God's word. We must not find ourselves questioning it. We must not find ourselves arguing with God's word. We're not going to cross the finish line until we let God be God, and if this is God's word, then it's final. And when we come to the commandments, when we come to the reminders, we must recognize this is the word of God. Joseph had faith to receive it as the word of God. Now, it's one thing to say, I believe God's word. I believe the Bible's God's word. It's another thing to receive it into your heart as the authoritative, infallible word of God. Joseph received the word of God. But not only did he have faith to receive it, secondly, this guy had faith to recite it. I mean, it was so real to him, he couldn't help talk about it, you see. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You'll know what's on someone's heart by just listening to them for a while. And Joseph spoke what was on his heart. Notice, if you would, in Genesis 37, verse 6, he said unto them, his brothers, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said unto him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Now, it's one thing to receive God's word in your heart, but it's another thing to say, "Hey, Joe, I got to tell you something. Hey, Sally, I got to tell you something that God showed me in my heart. God has really blessed me from his word, and I want to share it with you." You see, Joseph received it, but Joseph also recited the word of God. Now, if we're going to grow in the Christian life, we must not just hear the word, but we must also receive it, and we must be willing to share it in our everyday lives. In 1986, when we came to Lancaster, California, my wife and our kids, we came to a place that had no programs and not a lot of organization. And financially, our building payments here were about $2,000 a month, and the offerings were about $300 a week. You do the math. There wasn't a lot to get going with, but there was one thing we had, and that was a strong faith in the Word of God. "But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." And this church has been a church of faith, and to the extent that we keep believing and that we keep trusting, and that when we don't understand something, we believe that God's still in control. And when there's a verse that we don't measure up to our experience, we still trust God's word. To that extent, we will cross the finish line for the glory of God. Joseph crossed the finish line because he kept on believing in God throughout his entire life. The faith of Joseph. Notice secondly, though, the faithfulness of Joseph. The faithfulness of Joseph. Now, you remember last week we learned a little principle, and that is that our belief will always affect our behavior. Our belief will always affect our behavior. So Joseph had faith in God, and that caused him to be faithful to God. Notice, if you would, please, his faithfulness. There comes some trouble into Joseph's life. And I want you to see several times when Joseph was faithful. First of all, he was faithful when he was betrayed by his brethren. When he was betrayed by his brethren. The Bible says that they envied their brother. Genesis 37, verse 11. "And when his brother envied him, but his father observed the saying." They not only envied their brother, the Bible says they sold their brother. Notice in Genesis 37 and verse 20, "Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Genesis 37, 27, "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for our brother, he is our brother in our flesh." And his brethren were content. Now I want you to get this in your mind for just a moment. Here we see the betrayal of Joseph's family. Now sometimes people say, "Pastor, if you only knew what my dad did to me. If you only knew what my mom did to me. If you only knew what my Uncle Zeke did. If you only knew how bad I had it." By the way, I'm not saying that those were not bad things, but think about this. How many of you were thrown into a pit and then sold into slavery by your siblings? I think Joseph had a pretty bad family life. I mean, if that's not dysfunctional, folks, I don't know what is. This guy had a weird family. They were filled with anger and animosity towards him and enviousness towards him to the point that they literally betrayed him into slavery. By the way, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Listen, if you dare to believe this book and if you dare to tell others about it, there will be people who will not appreciate your life. That's what Joseph was experiencing. Now, in the midst of that betrayal, Joseph made a choice, and I want you to catch this. He chose to stay in the fellowship of God. You see, a lot of times when people are falling away from God, it's not that God's less faithful. It's that they're making a volitional choice to step away and to follow their own plan. There's a little definition I have in your notes this morning that I hope you'll think about. And it simply says, "Integrity is keeping my commitment even if the circumstances when I made the commitment have changed." Integrity is when you love your wife even when her physical conditions change. Integrity is when you love your husband even when his career didn't go how you thought it would go. Integrity is when you stay faithful to God even when you don't think everything is going the way it should go. You see, Joseph said, God, I believe your word. I'm going to keep believing your word even when my circumstances change. I will be faithful to you because you have revealed your will to me. He was faithful when he was betrayed. Notice, secondly, he was faithful when he was tempted by his boss's wife. When he was tempted by his boss's wife. Notice in Genesis 39 and verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Now, let me give you this picture very quickly. Joseph is a young Hebrew boy, maybe a teenager still, handsome, strapping young man. He's starting to rise up in the ranks. He's now serving in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar was a very, very authoritative man in all of Egypt. Potiphar's wife one day lays eyes on Joseph. And Potiphar's wife begins to have a designing scheme towards him. And in verse number 8, the Bible says in Genesis 39, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, one of the temptations that comes to people who do not finish strong is the temptation of sexual lust. And this is a tragedy in so many lives and in so many broken homes. But Joseph knew something that all of us should remember. He knew that to commit this sin was not only to sin against Potiphar and Potiphar's wife, but more than that, it was to sin against God. And there is a defilement of the soul and of the conscience with moral sin that I cannot put into a verbal description. Suffice it to say, the whole process of thinking is changed when someone succumbs to this because they have sinned against God. And until there is repentance, their thought processes are often very warped. Joseph was a straight-thinking man because he had put his faith in the Word of God and he was walking faithfully to God. So when the temptation came, he quickly said, no way. How can I do this great wickedness against my God? And Joseph was willing to lose a coveted position, to lose his job if need be, in order to keep his integrity. Thank God for men in our armed forces who say, I'm not going to drink at the officers' club to get my promotion. Thank God for ladies in the workforce who say, I'm not going to dress like some wild Jezebel in order to get the attention of the boss. Thank God for Christians with integrity. Thank God for people who say, I am going to walk with integrity in this day. Potiphar's wife attempted to seduce Joseph, but Joseph was faithful to God. In fact, notice in Psalm 51 and verse 4, what David said after David sinned. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You see, David really understood that his sin was a sin against God Almighty, and he was repentant of that sin.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily radio program and teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College. If today's message has been an encouragement and a blessing to you, perhaps consider going online. You can download this message in its entirety, this program in its entirety, and also recent series from Daily in the Word through our podcast or through the website when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I also want to encourage you to refer a friend to dailyintheword.org. Let them know about the great Bible teaching and preaching that you're receiving, and they can receive that as well anytime, 24/7 at dailyintheword.org. I want to invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially this month. This is an important time of year to consider how God might allow you to impact others with the gospel of Christ. And a great way to do that is through the ministry of Daily in the Word. Your gift of any amount is so important to helping us continue this radio program on this station and others like it all across the country. And this month, when you will partner with us, we want to send you a gift of appreciation. And it's a Christmas CD, a solo piano CD that will encourage your heart, entitled A Quiet Christmas with Christ. You can partner with us online at dailyintheword.org by clicking on the donate button, or you can call us toll-free. The number is 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. We also love to hear from you by mail. You can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. I want to remind you, visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find a treasury of resources for your spiritual growth, including a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, a link to the Daily in the Word podcast, and lots of other information. Be sure to check out the information on the Alaska cruise. We're headed to Alaska in August of 2011, and we would love to meet you and fellowship with you during that week on this special adventure. Be sure to consider prayerfully partnering with us financially. Your gift to this ministry on a monthly basis would be so appreciated and would go so far in helping us to continue expanding the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ all across the country through this program. You can partner with us online at dailyintheword.org. Our toll-free number, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks so much for letting this program minister to you today. And until next time, have a great day.